Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
Last week, we were able to take a look at when Jesus called Peter and his brother Andrew, who were fishermen by trade, into the ministry. And when Jesus was walking by them, he simply said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." You know, he didn't say, take this 27-day course on evangelism. He didn't say, read this manual on how to heal the sick. He didn't say, go to this seminar on soul winning. He simply said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And this is what, you know, I sense that the Lord is speaking to us in this season. You know, he's simply beckoning us. He's saying, "Follow me, and follow me more closely." You know, everything that we need to know about life, you know, how to treat people, how to walk through various storms, you know, how to deal with conflict, how to forgive, and how to receive forgiveness. Everything that we need to know about life can be found by following Jesus. Amen. So the Lord's telling us, "Follow me. Follow me," you know. And this is the gist of it. It's, how many of you would say, "I want to be more like Jesus"? I mean, that's, when we become Christians, that's our thing, right? Christian means Christ-like. You know, but we're all in progress and process, aren't we? We're not there, we're trying, but man, we have a lot of flaws. Yeah, but I want to be more like Jesus in a lot of ways, and I have a long ways to go. And I think we all do. And so Jesus was saying this, if you just simply hang out with me and just follow me around and spend some time with me, man, you'll naturally become more like me. You know, you'll begin to think more like me. You'll see things as I see them. You know, you'll see people differently. You know, he said, just hang out with me. Just follow me around. So last week, you know, we decided that, man, it would be a really good idea. Let's just follow Jesus around for a little while and see how he did it, right? Let's just see what he did. What did he say? How did he speak? How did he approach people? You know, how did he act? And I'm telling you, that's a safe place to be. Amen. So listen, this week, you know, we said that we were going to look through Matthew because that was the last, if you're following our Bible reading plan. You know, we're not in Matthew anymore, but the last gospel that we were reading together was Matthew. I think we're in Hebrews. I know we're in Hebrews. So anyway, this week, it was Tuesday night. Actually, I would say it was Wednesday morning, probably at 2 in the morning. I woke up like I normally do, not on purpose. And I just really sensed that the Lord gave me direction on what he wanted us to do today. And what he wanted to speak to us today. You know, we've been on a series, we had a 6-week series where it was my assignment to convince you that you're ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every one of you, regardless of your occupation, that's who you are, right? When we opened up our heart to Jesus, man, he made us ministers. You know, all of a sudden, you have a story, you have purpose. And so the Lord was sharing that with us. And so this week, man, I really felt like the Lord wanted us to camp out at Matthew chapter 9. And this is where Jesus came into his own city, and he was in a home, and he was teaching, and they brought to him a paralytic. And I want to pick this story up and look at it, Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 2. And I want us to read these verses out loud and together, okay? Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, as they come up on the screen. Let's read. So he got into a boat, he crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." The other gospel writers bring more detail. You know, Mark and Luke, they tell us that this paralyzed man was brought by 4 friends, and they picked him up. They put him on a cot or a bed. I would think like a stretcher. So his 4 friends picked him up, and they carried him to the home where Jesus was teaching, but by the time they got there, it was so crowded they couldn't get near Jesus. So these friends took him up on the roof, and they found a place like where Jesus would be teaching, and they started clearing away the material of the roof, and they cut a hole in the roof, and it had to be fairly large because this guy's on a bed. And the structure had to be pretty solid because there's five men on the roof. So we're not talking like straw. You know, there's something they had to clear it away. They had to cut a hole in it. And then they lowered Jesus right down, or lowered this paralyzed man right down in front of Jesus. How many of you would agree those are some really good friends? Yeah, man, I was thinking about this, you know, that morning, 2 a.m. or so. And, man, I was thinking, man, I can do a series. I don't know if I will. But, man, how many of you have friends in your life that will carry you to Jesus when you can't walk? Come on. You ever been in a position where you're like, I don't know if I can go on? Well, that's not the message. But these were really good friends. But I started thinking about these friends, you know, and I wonder if they were taken back a little bit at this particular moment, because they went through all of this trouble. You know, they grabbed this friend of theirs. They put him on a stretcher. They walked him all the way to where Jesus was. They couldn't get in. They got him up on the roof. They cleared all this stuff away. They cut a hole in the roof, and they lowered him down expecting for him to be miraculously healed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he didn't say, be healed. He said, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Listen, the most critical and most important need of every man, woman, and child is to have our sins forgiven. And there are people all around us, all the time, Christians and non-Christians alike. They're walking physically, but they're paralyzed spiritually. Yes. You know, they're all locked up under guilt, shame, condemnation, you know, because of a sin or a series of sins. They're just all locked up. And listen, the best words that anybody can hear, the most powerful words that anybody can hear, the most freeing words that anybody can hear from Jesus is, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. So listen, my assignment today is to create a safe place for us to be able to bring our sins before the Lord. And listen, I don't want you to worry. You know, this isn't going to be a public display. I'm not going to ask you to air your dirty laundry in front of everybody. But listen, today we're going to deal with our sin issues. Yeah. And I'll tell you where we're going to go with this. We're going to deal with our sin issues because we have to pray over our city. There's a lot of shootings. There was 3 more this week. And I'm telling you, we can take authority, but we got to get our hearts right. You know, and so we're going to look into this. So today, each and every one of us is going to be given an opportunity to examine our own heart, right? We're just going to take time to take a look inside and bring our shortcomings before the Lord in humble confession and repentance. Amen? Amen. We have to deal. Listen, as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ and as Christians, you know, we need to deal with our sin issues. Amen? Amen. And so many Christians today, and maybe you've been there, you know, a lot of Christians are walking around. They're walking with the Lord, but they're really not walking in good cheer. Do you understand? I'm walking with the Lord, but I just don't have this joy. I don't have this good cheer inside. And many times it's because they think that they've sinned too much, or they've sinned too often, or, you know, they've gone too far. And so before we leave here today, I want every single one of you to be able to hear directly from Jesus. Yes. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Yes. Amen? Amen? That's our desire. Turn to your neighbor and say, today we get to deal with our sin issues. Yeah. Come on now, listen, put the punch on get. Say, today we get to deal with our sin issues. We get to do it. Yeah. We get to do it. We get to do it. And listen, all joking aside, I mean, this is the reality. Listen, it is such a great privilege that we're even given the time to get our hearts right with God. I mean, it's a great privilege that we have this opportunity and this time to get our hearts where they need to be with the Lord. Amen. So today, man, we get to have our hearts power washed by the word of God, humble confession and repentance. It's a privilege. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. And while you're turning there, turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to clean house. Yeah. And listen, I want to encourage you, we need to do this often, church. Paul is quoting David from Psalm 32, Romans 4, verses 7 and 8. And he says, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. You know, another word for blessed is happy. So in other words, the happiest person is the person who knows their sins are forgiven. Yes. Yeah, so we as Christians should be the happiest people on the planet. Yeah? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, be of good cheer. We focus a lot on healing and miraculous healings. And, you know, the deepest need, I think the deepest need that people need, it isn't always material and physical, but it's eternal and spiritual, right? And so the Lord wants to deal with these things. The most powerful, the most freeing words that anybody can hear from Jesus is be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Amen? Look what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10. Verses 19 and 20, you know, you guys know verse 19. I mean, you probably have this, you know, memorized. But I don't know if you know what verse 20 says, but let's look at these. Jesus says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We quote that, we stand on it, we move out in that. But look what verse 20 says. He continues, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. I want to be on that attendance list. Yeah? I want to make sure that my name's written in heaven. Amen. So listen, Jesus made that available to us. And listen, I don't want my name like smudged, you know? You know what I mean? So sometimes it's not that I think that I would lose my salvation, but I don't know. I don't want to even take the risk. You know, but I don't want my name smudged like So, man, I want to repent a lot and make sure that name's crystal clear. Yeah, I want to be able to raise my hand when they call my name, right? Everyone say, no shame.
No shame.
No shame. A lot of times we hesitate to address our sin issues because of shame. But look what Isaiah 61:7 says. The Lord speaks to you today and he says, instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Yeah. So when we humble ourselves and we confess our sins, listen, the Lord will take your shame and replace it with double honor. Yeah, that's what he does. What am I doing? I'm creating an atmosphere where we can repent and confess our sins before the Lord so that we're closing the gap between us and our fellowship with him. He's saying, follow me. Man, I don't want to see him in a fog. You know, I don't want to have my vision of him impaired. And I don't want my ears to be impaired because of shame or guilt. He says, instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Look at this part. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Listen, in their land, they shall have double. See, listen, we're going somewhere with our service today. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14. Turn to your neighbor and say, humble yourselves. 2 Chronicles 7, 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. This is the first portion of the service. We're going to do that. Because he says, if we do that, he says, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. In their land, they'll possess double, and everlasting joy shall be theirs. Yeah. You know, I was going to go to, there was a worship thing that was going on last week that I was thinking I wanted to attend. And, you know, I really kind of had it on my heart I wanted to go, but I didn't know the neighborhood. These three shootings had just happened, and I didn't feel safe going into a neighborhood I didn't know at night. You know, I didn't want to do that. I was really thankful that Roger and Kim were able to go and represent. But the thing is that, man, our city, I just think that our city, we need to push back some darkness. Yes. Amen? Amen? And so we have to, if we follow the way the Lord tells us to do it, we have the advantage. Amen. Say, humble yourselves. Look at James 4:10. It says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Look at 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. He says, humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. See how this works? You know, when you humble yourself before the Lord and you confess your sins, he doesn't say, I'm going to make a fool of you. He says, I'm going to lift you up in honor. Every time we humble ourselves, he lifts us up in honor. Amen? Now look at verse 7, though. He says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Listen, your heavenly Father cares about you. Man, your heavenly Father loves you. And so the Lord is saying, give all your worries about your sin issues to me. Yeah, he's saying, don't worry about whether or not I'm going to forgive you. Because if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Remember last week when we looked at when Jesus healed the leper and the Lord spoke to us? Don't question my willingness anymore. Remember that? You know, a lot of times in the Bible, leprosy and sin are compared together. And the reason being is because sin, like leprosy, starts on the inside. Sin will start to eat away at you from the inside out. You know, and it may go unnoticed for quite some time. But eventually it will surface. And when that sin surfaces, many times it will cause you to go to another camp or get out of the camp you're in. That's why they had leper colonies. People that had leprosy, they were so highly contagious, they had to get out of the camp. And they would have to scream, unclean, unclean. You know, so unconfessed sin in us, man, it leaves us screaming inside. Unclean, unclean, unclean. We're walking physically, but inside we're bound up. And so the Lord is saying, listen, don't question my willingness to forgive your sin. No matter what you've done, no matter how many times you slipped up, no matter what bondage you're in, don't question my willingness to forgive your sin. Amen. Let's look at this in Matthew chapter 8. Remember, leprosy and sin, they're compared a lot of times. So let's look at this and see the heart of God the Father. It says, behold, a leper came and worshiped Jesus, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him. Listen, I want to tell you that your sins do not make you untouchable. And they don't make you unreachable. You know, Jesus doesn't turn away from the stench and the grossness of your sin. You know, he embraces you in all of your mess when you turn to him and want to get right with him. So the leper says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him and said, I'm willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Listen, this is what the Lord wants to do with your sin. You know, last week we talked about when we're praying healing for people, and we'll relay this, you know, to our sin issues. We said that when we're praying for people, the Lord told us last week, don't start your prayers with a question. Because a lot of times we'll pray, Lord, if you're willing. And the Lord asked this question, how can anybody take a step of faith if there's a question mark on my willingness? And so the Lord is saying, don't question my willingness. Don't start any prayer request with an if. Start it with a thank you. Lord, I thank you and praise you that you are both willing and able to not only heal the sick, but forgive my sin. You're willing and able to take me in and break these chains of bondage off my life. Amen? Amen. And this is what the Lord desires. Listen, your Heavenly Father loves you, church. Can you tell I'm down a few notes? let me tell you why. Because I don't want to attack your sin. I mean, your Heavenly Father loves you so much. And listen, his love towards you is tender. His mercy towards you is tender. You know, so our Heavenly Father isn't harsh. Do you understand? He's not unreasonable. He handles our shortcomings, you know, with a gentle, caring, tender, redeemable, loving kindness. And so even while I was preparing, even when the Lord gave me this at 2 a.m. on Wednesday, I just sensed the Lord was saying, come in really gentle. Come in very soft so that our hearts aren't being filled with adrenaline, that we would move out of emotion, but that we will have a time to sincerely examine our hearts soon. So you can tell I'm purposely keeping the energy level here. Amen? Amen? To represent the gentleness of the Father's heart. How many of you ever got in trouble and got yelled at for it? Yeah, it kind of throws you back, right? Man, I'm just telling you, your Heavenly Father is gentle. He's got tender mercy. Everyone say tender mercies. Look at Psalm 40, verse 11. The psalmist says, do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. Tender mercies, not harsh, not unreasonable, not looking to jump down your throat. Look at Psalm 51, verses 1 and 2. The psalmist says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. Listen, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. I heard the Lord say this week, the multitude of your sins cannot outnumber the multitude of his tender mercies. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. So if you're thinking, oh, I've gone too far, I've done too much, I've sinned too often, or you keep going back to the same sin, the Lord says the multitude of your sins can't outnumber the multitude of my tender mercies. Amen. And so he says, have mercy on me, O God, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Look at, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Listen, this is the heart that we as ministers need to have. Amen. We get excited about laying hands on the sick and seeing healings, and we're all excited about that. But I'm telling you, I think that in these days, we need to take a little bit more time to hit our knees before a gracious God and say, cleanse me, cleanse me. I don't know about you, but I need cleansing a lot. Attitudes. Listen, there's sins of commission and there's sins of omission. You know, we commit a sin when we do what we're not supposed to do. That's committing a sin, the sin of commission. But then there's sins of omission, and that's when we don't do what we're supposed to do. Yeah, both of these things. So turn to your neighbor and say that you have flaws.
You have flaws.
But that's what Jesus died for. Yeah. So when we're talking about you being ministers, listen, can I just tell you that I am imperfect. You know, I don't have it all together. You know, I'm dealing with whatever I need to deal with whatever the Lord tells me to do or whatever he tells me not to do. And when I miss the mark on either side of that spectrum, I got to go before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. I missed it. And I think that is the humble heart that the Lord desires. You know, why? Because when we stay that way and we stay clean, you know what? We're walking in good cheer. Because we hear the Lord tell us every single time those powerful words when we repent and confess, be of good cheer, son. Your sins are forgiven you. And we can move on and then come back and hear those words again. Amen. Look at Psalm 103. Verses 2 through 4, again, very popular verse, but a lot of times we don't look at verse 4. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction. Look at this. Who crowns you with loving kindness, and say it with me, tender mercies. God's love is so tender towards you. His mercies are tender. You know, when Jesus was going through what he went through to pay for our sins, there was a crown of thorns pressed on his head. And he says, I took that crown so that I can crown you with tender mercies. Every time you blow it, every time you screw up. Yeah. And that crown, you know, listen, isn't that where a lot of shame and guilt hang in your head? Yeah. You know, that's what I'm saying, even with the leper, you know, they would have to cry out, unclean, unclean. And, you know, when we have unconfessed sin, that's what screams inside of us, I'm unclean. And it stops us. And Jesus said, man, I'm going to take that crown of thorns. I'm going to bleed from the place that you're attacked the most. And I'm going to replace that with a crown of tender mercies. I'm going to take all your unrighteousness and I'm going to robe you. I'm going to put a robe of righteousness on you. Yeah, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteous of God in him. Amen. Go back to Matthew now. Matthew chapter 9. I want to finish this story. So you saw that Jesus... The men, they came, they brought this man, this paralytic down, dropped him before Jesus, didn't drop him, but lowered him before Jesus. And Jesus said, you know, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Now let's pick this up in verse 3. He says, at once some of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? Well, which is easier? I mean, is it easier for Jesus to heal or easier for him to forgive? I mean, to heal this guy, all Jesus would have to do is speak a word. But to forgive this guy, he had to die. Same thing for us. So Jesus says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. The Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. Say that with me. The Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. Then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. Just a little soft music. So check it out. This paralyzed man who was unable to do anything for himself. He had to be carried around everywhere he went. You know, this paralyzed man who had to have his friends take him to Jesus. It was too crowded. Then they took him up on this paralyzed man who had to be lowered down from the roof. He met Jesus and he walked out that front door completely free. Listen, not just physically upright, but spiritually upright. He walked out those front doors completely free because he'd been made right with God because Jesus forgave his sins. And I want to tell you today, each and every one of you, the Lord will do the same thing for you today. You can walk out these doors today completely free. Completely free, church. No longer bound, no longer paralyzed. No longer with a limp in your character. No longer underneath the heaviness of shame or bound by guilt. You can be completely, completely free. Jesus said, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's his promise. Acts 3:19 says this, repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Listen, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Oh, times of refreshing. Some of you in here need to be refreshed. And so while our eyes are closed right now and while your heads are bowed, I mean, listen, you might want to turn around and make your chair an altar. We're going to take some time for you to examine your heart. If you want to come up here, you can. I'm not requiring any of this. It's just you examining your heart. Just begin to bring your imperfections before the Lord. Again, you can make your chair an altar. This is your time. This is your time. Thank you, Jesus. Just say, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, Lord. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And now while your eyes are closed still, I want you to hear these words directly from Jesus. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Come on, thank him for that. Yeah. Listen, now we can get some things done. All right, look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. Again, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. Listen, we're going to break into praying for our city. All right? And we don't really have a set thing on how we're going to do it. But when we had Seek God for the City, you know, we were meeting here and we were praying for our city, and Kim Sharkey had got a video together of our city, and it's going through our city, and we're going to switch gears in a little bit. Jeremiah 29:7, look at this verse, though. It says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city. Oh, that's what our city needs, right? Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Amen. So we want to pray over our city. You know, there's been some gun violence going on. There's things happening. But listen, our hearts are ready. We did the first part of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Now we're going to get in to the next part, believing that he's going to hear our prayers. He already forgave your sins. He's going to heal our land. Amen. 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 Listen, I'm going to turn this microphone on. This one here. And listen, we want to watch this video, but listen, we want to stretch out our hands. And if the Lord puts something on your heart to pray over the city, this microphone is on. All right, and we'll submit to that. So is that video ready to roll? Let's do this. Come on, stretch out your hands. Come on, begin to pray. You can stand up and walk around if you want. Father, this is the city that you called us to. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you that you move on the streets of our city. Lord, we thank you that you arrest those that are carrying guns right now by your Spirit, Lord. By your Spirit, we thank you and we praise you. We come against gun violence. Lord, we thank you that peace will come upon our city. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you drive out darkness right now in Jesus' name. Lord, in every alley, on every street, Father, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. Move according to your might, Lord.
Hallelujah. Father, we bless you today. We glorify you today. We magnify you today, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we pray for our young people, oh God. We ask you to have mercy upon their souls, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we ask you to come into our city and do what only you can do, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we repent. God, we repent as your people, God. First of God, as the parents, oh God, those who've let our children go up any kind of way that they wanted to, Father. Those that didn't, Lord God, good speak life into them, Lord. We ask you to forgive us, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, we ask you to forgive us, oh God, where we didn't take them to church, oh God, but where we sent them to church, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I bless you today, Father. I worship you today. Hallelujah. This is something that the Lord put on my heart about a year or so ago. And this is the perfect opportunity to declare this in the name of Jesus. So I want you to stretch your hands to the screen and I want you to agree with this. It's a prayer of repentance. Hallelujah. And it just says some of us, some if not all of us, hallelujah, of our children. They want nothing to do with God because of what they saw or what they didn't see growing up. So, Father, we repent. Lord, we repent for our generation, for those who are older than us and those who are younger than us. Father, we repent. We ask you to break every chain off of their lives, God. Father, we repent. We ask you to forgive us, oh God. We didn't know, oh God, in the name of Jesus. But Lord, now that we know, we're going to do different, oh God. We're going to bring them, oh God, in the name of Jesus, to your face, oh God. We're going to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for helping us to teach our children. And we thank you, Lord, for teaching our children to walk as priests and kings, because that's who they are, oh God. We decree and we declare kingship, priesthood over their lives now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, help them not to surrender to Antichrist agendas as we've done, oh God. But help them to know that you have a plan. You have a purpose for their lives according to Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verse 11. And Father, we declare, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that your will, your plan, and your purpose is being manifested in their lives now. God, teach us how to be spiritual parents. Teach us how to be natural parents, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that there's nothing, nor is no one too old, no one too young, oh God. I thank you for vision now, God, that we may see exactly what you're saying, oh God. Father, we repent in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your grace being upon this city, oh God, being upon this region, oh God, like never before, like nothing you've ever seen, oh God. Thank you for taking the spiritual blinders off of their eyes, oh God. Thank you, Lord God, that every spirit of addiction is broken off of their lives now in the name of Jesus. For thank you, Father, for a fresh download of your anointing, a fresh download of your grace, a fresh download of your power, a fresh download of your presence. Help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And your word said that all things will be added to us, oh God. And we glorify you for what you're doing in us and through us, oh God. Father, we say yes. Do I hear anybody that say yes this morning? We say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Praise the Heavenly Father. We thank you and honor you for this day. In Jesus' name. As Pastor was saying this morning, as he was praying when he asked for forgiveness, as a prayer warrior, this is the way I pray every morning, 7 days a week. Every morning I get up and pray. I say, Heavenly Father, I come before the throne of grace in the name of Jesus, asking you to forgive me for any sin, knowingly and unknowingly. Any sin, any unrighteous word or thought I may have committed before thee. Any sin Satan may be accusing me of, because he is accuser of the brethren. And then I start and pray. And then when I pray for the city, I say, I pray, Father, over Michigan City. Father, all the surrounding areas of Michigan City, Pottawatomie Park, Trail Creek, Long Beach, Michiana Shores, Beverly Shores, and the Pines. I plead the blood of Jesus over these areas, and I pray your warning angels of protection around them. And I bind and curse every demon spirit of Satan and his cohorts that will come in this area with sickness and disease, death and destruction, murder and rape, gun violence, drug violence, gang violence. In the name of Jesus, I bind these demon spirits, drug dealers. I curse these demons out of this area. In the name of Jesus, with the blood of Jesus, I bind these demon spirits, and I pray that the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, would move through our neighborhoods. I pray the peace of God that passes all understanding would flow through every neighborhood around this area. In the name of Jesus, with the blood of Jesus, I pray for our police officers, Father, to give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding as they come against crime. I plead the blood of Jesus over them. Pray your warning angels of protection around them as they come against evil and unrighteousness. I pray for them and their families in the name of Jesus, Father. And thank you, Father, for what you're doing and how you're blessing in the name of Jesus. But sometimes when I hear gun violence, when I hear people being shot, and sometimes I get discouraged. And I say, Lord, I said, I prayed, I'm asking you, seeking your face. And the Lord was saying, I thank God for what Pastor is doing today. And the Spirit of the Lord came in my heart and said, we need more prayer warriors. We need more prayer warriors to pray for your city. In the name of Jesus, I am assigned to this city because this is where I live. I am assigned to this state because this is where I live. Wherever you live, whatever city you stay in, Michigan, wherever you stay, you're assigned to that city. That's your assignment God has given you, has placed you there for a purpose. You're assigned to this church. If you go to this church and give your life and come to this church every day, you are assigned to this church. I pray for this church every day. I pray for our pastor and his wife. I pray for all the leaders. I pray for all of you and your families. We got to pray because the enemy is just running rampant. We need more prayer warriors, and I think God for what our pastor is doing. I really do. Thank you.
Well, Father, I thank you that at 7 years old, you brought me to the city and you made it my home. And Lord, at the time, unfortunately, you placed me in what some consider the roughest parts of the city. And I thank you for that. I've lived the darkness. I've seen some of the worst things that a young person can see and go through. I've dodged those bullets, Father, for you to bring me to the place I am now. Lord, I was raised by these waves, but I was saved by Jesus. And Father, you called me, and just like your word says, just like the name you gave me, to be strong and of good courage. And Lord, every place I set my foot, you've given me. And Lord, that's my heart and my prayer right now. That, Lord, we get our feet out, that we be strong of good courage, Father, from you, and filled with your Spirit. And that's what I ask right now, that Holy Spirit, you would move now and refresh every one of us. I ask you, and I want you to ask with me, please fill me up, Holy Spirit. Overflow in my heart, in my mind, and out of my lips, and through my hands. Now that I'll go out, that I'll lay hands on the sick. I'll go to the rough places that I know I was scared of before, but Father, I know you're with me. And Father, I thank you. That Lord, there are places in the city. There's ministries, there's Crossover, there's the YMCA, that Lord, you will start moving in these young people's hearts to get into a good place. That the seeds that's been planted by many of the grandmothers and mothers and fathers in the city will take root in the hearts of these young people, Lord. That Lord, we'll continue to water. We'll water those seeds, Father. That's what I'm hearing in my heart right now. You're telling me to get out and not just stay in Crossover Gym, but to get out in the basketball courts in Michigan City and go interact with these young people. Let them know the church is alive and we ain't stuck in a box. I love you, Father. I thank you. You saved me from that, Lord. You saved me so I could go give back the love, the Spirit that you fill me with now. Lord, I have a family. I have life. I have the church, Lord, and they need that. And, Lord, that's there for them. So please, Lord, please, Lord, move in me, move in the body, and, Lord, help us to answer the call. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, as we come together as one, we go before you and seek your face, God. Lord, we're nothing without you, God.
You have placed an assignment on us, Lord. You have downloaded that we must come together, Lord. We decree that we're going to ask them to put the guns down and put their hands up. Put their hands toward heaven, Lord, where they know that it's you, Lord, that you are real God. Lord, I release the spirit of the living God through this place, through this city. Lord, I ask that you go into every home, every neighborhood, Lord. Everything that the enemy meant for harm, Lord, I release goodness right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come to you, to ask you to forgive us, Lord, to forgive our ways, Lord. Because we are a part of the greatest ministry on the world, and we know together we can do all things through you, Lord. Lord, we ask that you continue to stop the violence in Michigan City, Lord. Lord, you have blessed us to live in a community where we live where there's a beach. Lord, where there should be peace every day. We should not have a pastor that's afraid to go out into this world. We are all ministers, Lord. We ask that you just deplete and diminish and stop the spirit of destruction, Lord. Lord, we're at a point right now we got to confuse the enemy. The Spirit of the Lord has said, I am with you. I have never left you. I will never forsake you. You have not because you never asked, but because you came with me with a clean heart now. I've blotted out your transgressions. I will do whatever you ask me, and I'm going to do it not in your name, but I'm going to do it in my name, says the Spirit of the living God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now God is saying, go forth and do as I have commanded you to do. Save our city. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Lord, we want to give you praise. We give you thanks, God, for the words that have already been spoken, God. For how you have already, Lord, established your kingdom. Hallelujah. Lord, you called me to this area, God. You gave me a command years ago to not leave this area, God. And Lord, I have been obedient unto that command and stayed in this area because I know you called me to this area, God. So, Lord, I decree and declare right now, Lord God, that your spirit fill the school system right now. Fill every house, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we break church hurt right now. Every place where they're feeling hurt and scarred up from the past, we break it right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I declare freedom in this city right now in the name of Jesus. I declare healing in this city right now in the name of Jesus. All past hurts are broken right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Every sickness and disease is broken right now in the name of Jesus. Every generational curse is broken right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's right, that's right. Hallelujah. It's broken right now in the name of Jesus. And I command you to go right now in the name of Jesus. Take your hands off this city. Take your hands off these children. For they shall rise up and become all that you have called them to be. There will be right-standing men, right-standing women in this city. Hallelujah. We declare right, we just cry right and justice in the politics, Lord God, in the mayor's office, God, Lord God, in the financial systems, God, in every area, Lord God, because you called us to go into the hedges and highways and compel men to come unto you. You command us to, Lord, baptize in your name, baptize every system in your name, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, for you called us to be in this place. And we declare your will be done in our lives, Lord God, that we are pillars. We are pillars. We are ministers of the gospel. We are ministers of the new covenant. We are a light among the darkness. Hallelujah. That we push back all the darkness in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father God, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit. God, I pray for the fathers. I pray for the men right now, God, that we need to get on our post and stand between the porch and the altar. We need to know that you are on the front line with us, God. God, we pray for peace over this city, God. We pray peace over Indiana, God. We pray for peace, Father. We pray for that joy of salvation, God, knowing that the purpose and the plan that you have for us, God, is to move in love, move in strength, God, and move in unity. So we pray today, Father God, and we thank you, God, for the anointing that is upon us, God, to reach down into the pit and bring these people out, God, and show them that there is a God of love. There is a God of joy. There is a God of happiness, God. So we thank you, God, that you're giving us the power and the authority in your name today, Father, that we can cry out and spare not, God, and sound the trumpet because Jesus is moving and he's calling out to those people who are dying in the streets. He's calling out to those people who are addicted, those people that have no joy, those people that have no love. God, we thank you this morning. We thank you this morning, God, despite of what we see, that you're moving on behalf of your church, God, that the Spirit of the Lord is sweeping through this city, God. We know by faith, God, and the word does not lie. When we stand in agreement, God, the power will rise up, God, and we will see signs and wonders, God, and miracles. Miracles will be the proof that our prayer is being heard, that we're going to see them come in, God. We're going to see them anointed. We're going to see them delivered. We're going to see them walking in a new light, God. So we thank you this morning, God, and we thank you for this church. We thank you for our pastors. We thank you for the leaders and the intercessors, God, because without the office, God, your people will perish. We need to word preach from the pulpit. We need to listen and let our hearts be ready to receive, God, in Jesus' name.
Yes, yes, yes. We come into agreement with every prayer prayed thus far, and we thank you, God. We thank you for Michigan City, and we speak life over Michigan City, Indiana. Michigan City is a place of hope, a place of deliverance, and we believe in revival for our city. We thank you for the city, and we come against any word curses against Michigan City. And we know, Lord, that your heart is for this city, that you're looking at this city right now, God, from your heavenly throne room, Lord, and you hear the prayers and the supplications and the declarations that we're making over the city. And we thank you, Lord God, that this is a righteous city, a city not forsaken, a city with a purpose, a city with a plan and a purpose for your kingdom. And we just come against the curses and the darkness that tries to overtake, and we thank you that we're raising up a righteous standard through Jesus Christ, who died for every soul that lives in this city, every man, every woman, every child, every race, every ethnicity, every person, sinner, saint, Father God. And we pray for the churches and the leaders, Lord. We thank you for unity in Michigan City. We thank you, Lord, that you would just put a stop to any religious abuse that could be happening in the city, Father God. Anything that would try to usurp your authority, Father God, we come against that. We thank you, Father God, that you died for each one, Lord, each soul of the city, Lord. I pray that there would be an awakening to your Spirit. Every soul in this city would have an awakening today, that they would have an encounter with you today, somehow, some way, Father God, that their thoughts would turn to you. Their thoughts would turn to the Father, and the Father would respond to those hearts that are seeking for you, Lord. I thank you especially for the children, Lord, that are going to receive ministry in this next week. Because really it's the heart, the seeds in the hearts of children that grow into the future leaders, the future pastors, the future ministers, Lord. So I thank you for the hearts of the kids would be turned this week at the VBS, Father God, especially because I know that you got to reach them when they're young, Lord. And I thank you, Lord God, that there wouldn't just be a response there, but it would just grow. They'd take it home with them and take it to school with them and take it out in the streets with them, Lord. And we just thank you, Father God, that you're hovering over the city even right now, Lord, creating new opportunities, Lord. I thank you for just more involvement in the churches. I thank you for more involvement in things that the community has to offer, Lord. I thank you for prospering the city and adding more jobs and more employment for the city, Lord. We know that originally Michigan City was a haven for those. People came to Michigan City for the opportunities and for to make money and to care for their families and build homes and be enriched, enrich the community again, Lord. And we just pray that it would get back to its godly roots, Father God, and we water those roots even right now in prayer. And we thank you that righteousness would spring up in Michigan City, Indiana. We love our city. It has its challenges, but we will not forget to pray for the city, the welfare of the city, but we will continue persevering in prayer until we see those changes that we want to see in the city. We know it won't happen overnight, but God, you can do above and beyond what we would ever ask or think by your mighty strength and your power in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen, we are going to respect the time. But how many of you feel like this was necessary today? Yeah. You know, we control the airspace. You know, and we tap into the things of the Spirit and we pray the way we did this morning after repenting and doing everything that we're told to do. You need to know that angels have been deployed. You need to know that there's things happening right now in the spirit realm and they will touch down on earth as it is in heaven. And listen, I'm going to release you to go. If you want to continue to pray, we're going to turn off the microphone and you can gather around here. Get up, fill up the front seats or something like that if you feel up to it. But we do want to respect your time. And I want to tell you that we're going to be doing some more of this. Also want to let you know that every Wednesday night, we have a handful of people that are faithful to come and pray. All right? So you're free to come to that as well. But thank you also for your response. You know, I really feel that the Lord was leading us today. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace and expect change.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.